This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dickerson. Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. Pat Bostick from 7 to 9. As I said before, Jeff Capel, 8:45. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 9 a.m. And, you know, this is that time of year where you're like, man, what is out there? I was searching last night. Now, you had the NBA draft, and you obviously had the Pirate game that was played earlier in the afternoon, but not much football news, not many things going on in the sports world, but we do have the Pirates, and like, I am so hot and cold with the Pirates. It just bothers me so bad. One moment I'll be high, one moment I'll be low, one moment I'll question, one moment I'll be confident. Like, I don't know where I'm at right now, and I'm being honest. And I think a lot of people are. But, you know, there's a majority who just don't have faith, and I get that because you've been burned so many times throughout how many years of Pirate baseball. But yesterday, they win the series against the Reds. They win 6-1. They're 2.5 games back right now. They have an off day today. Then they travel to Atlanta to play a really good Atlanta Braves team. Yesterday's story. And now my computer is not responding. What is going on with that? Andrew McCutchen, home run. Brian Reynolds extends his streak to 23 games of hitting. 23 games of hitting. Telez had two hits yesterday and a homer. Gonzalez had a hit yesterday. Connor Joe had two hits yesterday. Jason DeLay had two hits yesterday. This is the issue. Now, this is where I get like, you know, this is where I get just in that place where I just don't know about the Pirates is we heard the owner, Bob Nutting, talk a few days ago, whenever that was, and he said that alongside of getting help outside, we have to help ourselves basically inside. I'm paraphrasing here. And that means that there has to be development within the players that are already there. And there was three guys that have been in slumps that showed up yesterday. And that is Rowdy Telez, and he's been pretty decent for the last few weeks. Rowdy Telez, two hits and a home run. And I heard you on the early morning show, Callis, and I remember, this is why I wrote this down, is because I remembered you saying yesterday that Rowdy Telez is doing decent right now, pretty good, but he's not doing what you brought him here to do, and that's hit home runs. And look, bang, he hits a home run yesterday.
I have a theory that we should just slaughter them today,
yeah,
even though they won.
Yeah, I
agree. They need to do better.
I agree.
They're not good enough.
I absolutely agree.
Because every time we say that they didn't do something good enough, somebody does something good enough.
You're
Luis Ortiz, even on the mound, just going six innings.
It's exactly where I was going next.
Didn't anticipate that as much.
No, I mean, I didn't know if it was Ortiz getting the start because I really didn't. You know, just the game kind of snuck up on me. I took a little nap. The game snuck up on me. Didn't really do the research. So I saw Luis Ortiz, and I'm like, okay, it's a bullpen game again. And see how they patchwork it from behind him. But they let him go. His first start of the year was a starter last year. Fantastic. Six innings pitched.
Yeah.
Four hits. Seven Ks. 85 pitches. Was unbelievable.
Very
really
efficient.
Very efficient. Very, very efficient. So you hope that you can continue that trend with Luis Ortiz, and I bet you his confidence is through the roof, and that's what you need to play this game is the confidence element of it. But the guys that were in slumps are now somewhat breaking their slumps, if I want to say. I mean, like I said, Telez hits a home run. Gonzalez has another hit. That's two games in a row, and he was, 1-for-24 before 2 days ago, before he had his first hit. And Connor Joe has been slumping as well, and he had two hits yesterday. And then you see Jason DeLay get his opportunity, and we know what the catcher position has been bringing to the table, which is absolutely nothing for the Pirates. For him to have two hits, and they basically were the same hits there down the third base line and rolled into the outfield. I think it was two doubles, actually. I think he had one or two doubles. But you got some guys that are getting out of slumps, and this is this is why I'm so like in a weird place with the Pirates, because you have opportunities and you know what's around you. You know that this division is gettable in an aspect where you can get to a possible wild card game. But there's one element that is insanely missing right now. Insanely missing. This is all well and good. And I have a little theory when we in the next segment about this next series coming up against the Braves, who are doing very well this year. But there's one element that's missing. And if this element can actually pull through, you're cooking. You're cooking. And then that will give some confidence for Charrington to possibly add something legitimate. And that's Ke'Bryan Hayes, man. Ke'Bryan Hayes is just an absolute disappointment this year. Now, coming off of last year, I think it was the Cardinals series, maybe around July-ish, maybe end of July, I think, or maybe mid-July, where he started to get hot and he was hitting home runs. And then he continued that throughout the rest of the season. And you thought that he was going to pick up right where he left off. Now, he was hurt last year a little bit, and then this year, you know, he's just, whatever. Then he gets hurt again. And he's come back, and he hasn't been doing anything. The guy's getting paid $70 million. Now, I know that he's one of the best defensive third basemen in Major League Baseball. But you have to have more from him. He can't go 0-for-4 every single game.
He struggled a little defensively this year.
And he struggled defensively as well. You're right.
I mean, I think we all have to live with, too, that these back problems that he has. We didn't know those when he signed his extension. I don't know if the team did either, but they're going to be a perpetual thing. We talked about that a little bit a couple months ago. It's going to be a perpetual thing. It's something that we all as fans have to grasp and the team has to grasp, and I think that that's what's hindering him the most. I think when he's most healthy, he's talented, but like I know what it's like to try to hit, you know, or like be in a batting stance or like, you know, every pitch, have your back bent, your knees, you know, bent a little bit to like be in those positions. It's not easy, especially if there's an ailment like your back and your core, which are, you know, what usually hold you together, you know, and keep you strong in those instances. It's going to be tough.
From my recollection, and I don't have it in front of me, and maybe, you know, Dan Zangrilli would have, you know, better stats on this. I think that Triolo does better when he plays third. I feel like whenever I remember him subbing in and playing for Ke'Bryan Hayes this year, he always does better whenever he's at third base. Like at this point, and I know Triolo is not the answer, but you need something. He's been decent this series. No, he had a home run. Yeah, he's had a couple hits. Triolo did this series. Like if he's not healthy, like I'm sitting him down, man. Like because he's just not helping.
What do you do in that case though? I mean, do you just because he's got a big contract?
You just get him as healthy as possible.
You still got control. You just got to get him as healthy as possible.
I think you get him as healthy as possible.
How long do you sit him before that then? I mean, I think it's a good conversation.
I don't know.
Because if you sit him, you're not giving him a sample size. And if Triolo does well enough, it's not like you're going to be inclined to.
Would you trade him?
Who are you going to trade him to? He's hurt.
Well, if he is hurt, I don't know if he is. I mean, he's dinged up. He's not helping you, but he may help somebody else.
A moderately dented Ke'Bryan Hayes. What's the?
I mean, what else are you going to trade besides prospects? Are you going to trade any other players? Like, are any other players worthy? But that's you don't think you can get anything for him?
That's the question. Is you're paying a guy, you gave him an extension. It's a healthy amount of money for a young guy. What would you be willing to? What would you be willing to get in return for a guy that you're paying that much money but isn't completely healthy? That's tough. I mean, that's a tough one. What are you going to get? Another veteran? Maybe a C-grade prospect?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, it's a tough question.
It is a tough question, but he's just, I mean, you know, you expect so much more from him. It's not like Edward Olivares being thrusted into the lineup and being like, okay, like, I mean, he hits sometimes, he doesn't hit sometimes, but like this is a guy that is supposed to be a staple on your team, and he's such a giant hole in your lineup. Like he's doing nothing for you. And I feel like somebody like Triolo, once he does get going and he had a decent series, like he actually can't hit the ball.
I agree.
He can't hit the ball.
I've always liked Triolo, and I don't like that he hasn't been performing well. I think he's deserved the criticism that he's gotten.
I think he's just such a utility guy, but I do think that his best position is third base.
What would it be like to, I mean, Well, I guess that's true. He has gotten a little more hot when he's been playing consistently here recently.
Right.
And I understand it's difficult to just go into games, you know, intermittently and try to hit. So maybe if he got a more consistent sample size like this, maybe he'll keep doing better. Maybe he'd be the
That's a great discussion. I just keep going off of what Neil said the other day, and I asked him for that explanation of why the lineup construction was what it was last Sunday, and he was like, the only thing I can think of is them trying to get Triola going. Okay, get Triola going for what? That's where I'm at. And then I kind of try to link and attach things.
Maybe they realize the key Brian Hayes isn't gonna be playing for the majority of the summer.
Right.
He's gonna be hurt or not productive enough.
His production, like, for what he is being paid. And, you know, I get it. He got paid because of his glove. But just like you said, Kalas, like, his glove hasn't been the best this year.
I wouldn't even say he was paid just because of his glove. I really think that Pirates
thought that he could come through and hit.
Yeah. He was doing really well when he came on the scene. I mean, he was part of the 60-man COVID roster in 2020. And in 2021, he was doing pretty well. And then he missed first base, and it just seemed to go downhill from there.
Right.
You know, but I mean, like, no, I think he got the contract because he can do both. He was a really good defender. He was seen as a really good defender. And I think through the first couple months that he was on the team, he was hitting pretty well, too. These back issues didn't come up until year later.
Yeah, right, right.
And 2022 was the first time I think he went down because of his back injuries. So
I don't know. Like, back injuries, and obviously I just even said in the pre-show that, I've dealt with them for over a decade. Like, there's no... there's no really coming back from that. You know, no pun intended.
I don't think the Pirates knew that either. And I mean, you can't fault the Pirates for that. I really think that they thought they had a guy.
For sure.
And that's one of the biggest criticisms. They don't spend. Well, they did. They spent. It's a guy who's early 20s, who's got high upside, who was playing well for you. 80 million, I think it was?
70.
70 million. It was 70 million, you know, for a guy like that you have control of for 7-8 years.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't have a problem with that.
No.
So the Pirates are willing to spend a little more than they traditionally have, and they also extend a guy who was supposed to be a cornerstone, so there's no fault there. I just don't know if they knew about that.
I don't think so. I mean, and now they're in a position where it's like, you know, we're paying you a lot of money. We got to put you in the lineup. We feel comfortable at the corner spot, but it's just such a hole. And then if you take what Nutting said, we need to get better within and also get some help from the outside. Like, he is that right now, as we said, he is that piece that hasn't gotten better. And obviously Henry Davis, but he's been hurt. But, you know, you talk about some growth within. Like I just said, Connor Joe, 2 hits. He's found it again a little bit. I mean, now you hope you could carry that into this series against the Braves, but Nick Gonzalez has refound himself. Rowdy Tellez has refound himself. Brian Reynolds has a 23-game hitting streak. Andrew McCutchen is one of the best DHs in baseball. We don't even talk about the pitching. Pitching is what's kept them alive. So, I mean, where else does the finger point to? It's just, it's very, very, not alarming, but just...
slightly disappointing?
Disappointing, yes. Very disappointing.
Underwhelming?
Underwhelming. And, I mean, Ohno Cruz, throw him in there, too. I mean, he's been decent.
Yeah, big home runs.
Right.
When he's cold, he's really cold. He's frozen.
I don't know, man. Like, that is the missing link for me. And, you know, and I agree with you, Kalas. We should rip them because every time that we do, they win baseball games. So that is my negative spin for this first segment, is Ke'Bryan Hayes has been an ultra disappointment so far. And if he was just average, they would be that much of a better baseball team. If he was just average, just an average hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the shame about it.
Yes.
Pirates off today. They come back tomorrow to play the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. We'll break down that. And I have a little theory why I am confident in that series. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at South Hills Kia. .net. Dickerson, Kalas behind the glass, Bostic at 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. Jeff Capel, 8:45. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 9 a.m. Pirates off today. Take on the Atlanta Braves. Starting tomorrow, you're going to have Jones. You're going to have Skeens on the mound. Big, big series. I mean, it's against a good team. And that's why that's what leads me to this spot. Like, I have a theory around this series. I think that they're going to win this series. I really do. Like I said, I'm hot and cold, so just bear with me throughout the season. I'm hot and cold. I get real high at times, get real low at times. I just can't get my pulse on this team and what they're going to do to add to this team. But I do take credence into what Nutting said about the development directly within the club, within the team. And they showed that this last game, at least yesterday, that the guys that were slumping outside of Cabrian Hayes have found it a little bit. But they've seemed to win the games and beat the teams and win the series to the level of the highest competition. And I just look at the Dodgers series. I look at the Orioles series. They can play with these big dog teams. They've proven that.
They took 2 of 3 from the Braves about a month ago.
About a month ago, right. That too. So, like, whenever it comes to Dodgers, Braves, Orioles, teams that are up in the upper echelon in Major League Baseball, they seem to play well against them. They do. I mean,
feels like the Steelers, doesn't it?
It does feel like the Steelers. Steelers play down to the competition all the time. Now, I know that, you know, the Dodgers series was a home series, and this is away now, so it is going to be a little bit different. But, Callis, that's the reason why that I have faith that they're going to win the series is because they play up to the competition. And I feel like that this is the momentum and the win that they needed to vault them into a series like this.
I don't know. Like, I can't conceive how, like, I mean, that's what always frustrated me, like I said about the Steelers, but, like, I don't know how teams manage to lose, maybe under preparation. Football, it's a little easier to do that because you're playing week to week, but I don't know how you play a team in 3 games. Like, the Rockies series comes back to me, too. Like, how do they win those 2 games pretty securely, but they lose one of them 16-4?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I have confidence in the Braves series for all the reasons you said, but I think it also breeds the question, like, what is stopping them from beating these teams that are not as clearly talented as they are?
Consistency.
Yeah, the lineup, that's something. Yes. Those Sunday lineups on Wednesday and Sunday.
Yes.
Those probably hurt them.
The consistency of the lineup. Like, I mean, you know, athletes are routine based, and every sport is routine based. And whenever you're messing with the routine and the rhythm, it does throw everything off.
I'll give Shelton credit, though. That lineup in this series against the Reds was pretty consistent.
I think he felt the heat.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think he kind of realized, was like, okay, I can't be bleeping around with this lineup, you know, on this rubber match.
I don't know what the reason is, though. Like, I don't understand. Like, if it's working, you know, keep it working. Like, I get, if you're in April, I understood. You want to shift some people around, shift the people around, shift the lineup around. I mean, you're in June now, and you're in a race here, and you kind of know what you have.
Right.
Don't keep messing with it, you know.
Right.
Connor, right. I mean, I love Connor Joe. I mean, he's had no business being a number three hitter, I think, at all, at any point in time. He's, you know, 5 or below, I'd say, for him. Andrew McCutchen batting cleanup, I never loved.
Right.
And to keep throwing him out there at cleanup, you know, after you figured out that he's not hitting well, was not a good idea. He's a really good leadoff hitter, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting on base.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I never understood that as late as June now that he was, you know, doing the carousel of lineups. It doesn't make sense. I know McCutchen needs off days too, and some guys need off days, but yeah, there was no good reason for against the Cardinals when they played, you know, a few weeks back to not put out your best lineup when could have won that series.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, again against the Rockies, then you put all of your best feet forward and in a series that with a team that isn't even contending. It's just, yeah.
It's bizarre.
Consistency, you're right.
Doesn't it beg the question, though, like, does Shelton know what he's doing?
It does. It definitely does.
I guess that's fair.
It's a great question.
Because he doesn't give us answers either. And
no.
Not that he needs to. And, like, you know, I'm you know, former athlete. Like, I don't look at that like, oh, we need answers. You need to tell us the truth. Us media. Like, I don't. But, like,
explanation. I'll tell you this. I mean, when I was younger, I always thought, when I'd watch these press conferences, I'm like, you know, why don't they just be honest? I feel like that's different. It's a different flavor. It's received better, I think, if you're honest. Being in the business now, I can understand where certain types of people in media who talk about this stuff will turn things the wrong way.
Yes.
If you're too vulnerable. And
yes.
I hate that about our society.
Right.
I hate that
Me
about
too.
This business.
Me too.
We're legit, but, you know, some people aren't. And I get it. So, but yeah, I mean, there's like even his BS answer, you want to have some legitimacy in your BS. Like, Mike Tomlin's great at that.
Right. You know, I mean, like,
won't answer the question, but he'll give you something that's like, okay, he's not wrong. I don't like his answer, but he's not wrong.
Right. Like,
Shelton,
there's
I'm
no,
like,
There's no coach. There's no coach in professional sports that doesn't think that they know more than the media. Like, every coach is like, I know more because I'm here and it's my team.
Why?
So if you do know more, then give us an explanation in your way, in the baseball way, where probably people can't figure it out. Like, that's what I would do. Like, I could get here. I could come here on the radio and we could do a show and I could say things that you guys would never know. And it just, I could just put people in a position, if I really wanted to do that, of them looking stupid. So if I was a coach, I would not just give an explanation. I would give an explanation in the way that I know is the truth that nobody else would know. That's until somebody would figure it out. Then good for you for figuring it out.
Who was the football coach? Wasn't it Sean McVay? Or is it, wasn't talking about T.J. Watt?
Like, yes.
Oh, we tried to cover him. We did like a cloud nine double split.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. Exactly. Like that.
I guess you could talk in baseball lingo.
Yes. Yes. Do that. And then the real baseball people like the Neil Walkers will come on and be like, hey, Neil, break that down for us and then make it make sense for us that don't know what he's talking about. And then we would have our answer. But he gives no explanation. So I guess it's fair to criticize right now or to question if he knows what he's doing.
And maybe that's a fair point, too. Maybe if you're a little more honest in your answers, nobody can say that you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But if you try to hide what you're doing,
or you just,
it makes it seem more like you don't know what you're doing.
Or you just say, like, basically, like, oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Like, he said that before. Like, what do you mean you don't know? You don't know why you tried it out or took out Nick Gonzalez and rested him on a day that there was a rubber match game when you know you need to win every single game?
I think that I have respect for people who admit that they don't know. But if you say you don't know too many times, then it's not good. I mean, I haven't heard as too many of his answers. Has he said, I don't know very often?
No, not very often, but he has said, I'm not sure. You know, he'll be like, I'm not sure. That's a good question. But, like, in that position, you need to know. Like, I respect people that say, you know, I just don't know the answer, or I don't know. I actually don't know. But whenever you're getting paid.
No, that's different. When you're making decisions, you should have some rationale for why you're doing.
Yes. It's just a question. I just questioned it a little bit. It's very odd to me. You're going to question me here. Where we go next?
Ooh,
you are, because for the first time in the history, Kaus, the history. Hold on, let me get a read in real quick.
Okay.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. For the first time in the history of America. Listen here, Kaus.
I'm here.
First time in the history of America, Pittsburgh could learn from Cleveland for the first time. And we'll talk about that next. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Dickerson Kaus here with you. Bostic. Well, he just texted me now, Kaus, and said he might not be here till second segment. He's running behind. Does that shock you about Bostic?
Wait, what's that?
Bostic texted me and said that he might not get here until the second segment of the 7 a.m. hour. Does that shock you that Bostic is running behind?
No, it doesn't shock me at all.
No.
Gives you and me some more time, though.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Kaus, do you have any idea where I'm going with this for the first time in American history?
What? How can we learn from Cleveland?
Yes.
Is it that we're learning that no championships, it sucks not to have any?
Nope.
No.
I'm going to give you two more guesses. If you have two more guesses, do you have two more guesses?
When you have nothing to lose, you can start
One more guess? Come on,
Cleveland's
man.
Cleveland's closer to a lake, and that's cool. I don't know.
No. You know what it is? Is that Cleveland, they have a beach on the lake. According to you, no, they don't. Get out of here. There's no beaches on lakes. We're not doing that today. Well, here's why. Do you know, Kaus, that the Cleveland Guardians, have the 26th highest payroll in Major League Baseball?
I did not.
Did you know that?
No.
Do you know that the Pirates have the 29th highest payroll in Major League Baseball?
That I did know, yeah.
So Cleveland is around, I think, $100 million. I don't have it pulled up right here, but I'm in the vicinity. Around $100 million is their payroll, 26th highest in baseball. And I think the highest is the Mets, and then the second highest is the Yankees. 26th highest. Pirates have around $85 million, 29th. Cleveland has one of the best records in Major League Baseball right now. Actually, yesterday around 7 p.m., they had the best record in Major League Baseball. I think they lost last night. So don't sit here and tell me that the Pirates can't win. I mean, they're three spots away from being in the realm of Cleveland. And Cleveland is using what they have to win. Their record right now, if I scroll down here, they're 51-27, the Guardians, with the 26th highest payroll in baseball. Now, I get it. Like, if you pay for players and you pay a lot of money for big players, like, you have a better chance at winning. That's just kind of how it rolls, and that's how it works, and that's how it works in all sports. And that's why the Yankees are, you know, I mean, they're not playing well right now, but that's why the Mets are playing well right now, is because they were able to pay for quality players, Lindor, Lonzo, all those guys. But you can't sit here and tell me that if the Pirates looked at the Guardians' regime and how the Guardians have operated, at least this year, I don't know what their record was last year, I don't know what their record was a year before that, but at least this year, if you did a little study on the Guardians, you're right in the vicinity of what they are payroll-wise.
You know what I think it is for them? It's that Austin Hedges is back on their roster.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wherever he goes, he wins, except for here.
He got a hit yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He's a champion, too.
That's right.
Wow.
With the Rangers, yep.
Isn't it interesting, though? It's like, because you talk about how the Pirates don't spend money and, you know, how they're a small market team, and then you have Cleveland, who's right around the same vicinity as the Pirates payroll-wise.
Yeah.
And they're one of the best teams in baseball.
You know what?
That makes sense to me.
Well, they do one thing that the Pirates do kind of the same. Their pitchers are really carrying them, it looks like, this season. I mean, they've got some little stars on the roster. I don't recognize many of these names.
Right, I don't either.
On Cleveland in a while. Austin Hedges, well, we know him for...
They don't have a big-time player, I don't think.
Jose Ramirez is pretty good.
Well, okay.
One. Josh Naylor can hit. Okay. That's about it. Yeah, those two.
I mean, is that not what the Pirates are somewhat working with?
So no, I agree.
Why can't the Pirates be like that? Enough with the excuses is basically what I'm saying.
I hear you.
Enough with the excuses. You have a team that is showing you that you can have one of the best records in baseball that is 2 hours away without spending an insane amount of money.
No, you
could do the same thing.
I'll just reiterate what I said yesterday, is that if they get another big bat, like Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor, they're big home run guys, and they've been pretty much the power guys and the threatening guys in their lineup. The Pirates just need that person. Roddy Tellez, he stinks, boo. I'm saying that ironically because I want him to keep hitting home runs. He homered yesterday. If Tellez can develop into that, if somebody else can develop into that, or if the Pirates can go out and acquire somebody, that's really all you need, is that one threatening presence in the lineup, somebody that can hit home runs on a consistent basis or get extra base hits. I think the Pirates aren't really slugging that well either this season, I heard a couple days ago or so. They've got guys who their slugging percentage is the same as their on-base percentage. That means that you don't have any extra base hits. If they get somebody that has that threat, though, it can reshape the entire lineup. Whether Cruz gets more consistent, whether Tellez keeps it up. I think that's the difference between the Pirates and Cleveland, though, if I had to.
Yeah, but it's close.
It's close.
It's close. And it's very ironic that, you know, they're close in payroll, and you have one team who is legit, was at the time the best record in Major League Baseball, and you have another team that is fighting for their life and could have separated themselves if they would have spent $5-10 more million.
Are you one of the people that thinks that they should have gotten Rhys Hoskins?
Yes.
Maybe not signed somebody?
I said Santana, though.
Well, you probably could have got Santana for cheaper.
Right.
I don't actually know. I haven't checked on how
he was like $5 million.
Yeah.
I think he's around $5 million. So it would have been like $2 more million than you paid Roddy Tellez.
So you think Santana was genuine in saying okay.
No doubt.
I know there's some theory out there that's like, well, what else is he going to say?
But no, he wanted to be here. Look, somebody tweet. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Somebody tweeted me yesterday and was like, do you find it interesting that whenever the Pirates hit home runs, that they don't celebrate like they did last year? And I was like, that's a great tweet, and that's a great point, because whenever Pirates hit home runs now, it's just, you know, you trot around the bases, and there's no, like, celebration. Remember last year, they were all into it and doing all kinds of crazy stuff? Mm-hmm. That was, I think, because of Santana orchestrated that.
Oh.
Last year.
Yeah.
That fun, the fun element to it. I think he was having fun here. He wants to be here. He enjoyed his teammates, and not that fun and excitement and doing crazy stuff whenever you hit home runs. And not that that breeds winning, but that does help alleviate pressure.
I agree.
And they haven't done that this year. And that's why I do think that he wanted to be here, because he was legitimately having fun with the team that he was on and loves playing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's just a shame that they collapsed in June. Yeah.
So,
or May, really. Yeah. Do you think they're having fun now? I can't tell.
It's a good question.
When they, like, even they're very neutral, I think, as a collective during all these games. There's not, like, there's nothing I've been able to detect this year where I'm like, yeah, they look, you know,
when they do their
post game interviews individually, you can sense their personalities a little bit. I think, you know, Jared Jones is stiff,
mm-hmm.
and Brian Reynolds is extra stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Skeen smiles a lot because he does well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as a collective, like when they're in the dugout, I haven't noticed anything. That's a good point.
That's very interesting. I know that Skeens, Keller, and Jones are kind of like separate from the team. Not in a bad way. They stick together, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you show one of them, they're usually next to each other,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I think it's just a different kind of flavor of how they are playing this year. Are they having fun playing? I don't know. It may be almost as tense because they know that they have something. So it's like, we don't want to have too much fun and lose our focus because we can actually do something this year. That's the vibe that I'm getting. It's not like it's not having fun, but I think that it's more business-like. I think it's definitely more business-like because
they know they can accomplish something. They know they're close.
Yeah, they actually can accomplish. So I think it's almost a little bit more tense, like, hey, like, we need to focus.
Especially with Skeens getting caught up. It was fun at first, but now it's like,
it's kind of tailed off.
Who did they just lose to over the weekend? I can't remember now. Wow.
Wait, over the weekend?
Yeah, who did they lose to over the weekend? They lost Skeens to start.
Yeah. I'm looking it up now.
The Rays, that was it.
Yep.
They lost to the Rays 3-1. That's tough. I mean, when you lose games like that to a guy, too, on the opponent's side with an ERA, they haven't hit well against guys with bad ERAs, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know. It's just everything is opposite. Everything is opposite.
I think that when you have that reality now where you can lose games with Skeens, not that Skeens pitch badly, that's not what I'm saying. You can lose games, though, when he pitches for as well as he does. Maybe they feel that.
Yeah.
Can't be a good feeling.
You can't.
This guy gave up one run.
You can't lose those games.
No.
You can't lose those games. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a focus thing. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're going to do our best drafts next because the NBA draft was last night. The NHL draft is, I believe, very soon. You got the NFL draft. You have Major League Baseball draft. And whatever draft, anything that has to do with the word draft, we're going to rank those. Did you get your list together yet, Callis?
No, I'm working on it.
Okay. All right. We'll do that next. 50-minute mark of the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19, and Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Dorn here with you. Callis here with you. Bostic may be here in the next segment, maybe not, but we're planning for him to be here at some point in the 7 a.m. hour.
Over under 7:09, he gets here.
Ooh. Over.
I say that as well. Over. I think he's going to show up around 7:14, but it'll be in the middle of the segment. Right as we're ending, he'll just walk in.
Yes.
And it'll extend our segment by 2 minutes because we're going to say hi to him.
You're exactly right. That's exactly what's going to happen. Jeff Capel, Pittman's basketball coach, will join us at 8:45. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 9 a.m. Crowley is out, as you're very well aware. He is on paternity leave.
Can I tell you something, too, though, real quick?
Of course.
I love that. Because you guys taught me about betting about, 9 months ago?
Yes.
September?
Yep.
And I love knowing those references now. I can set lines for things like that.
Over-unders.
I didn't know that before.
That's right.
I would not have been able to make that joke before.
We're going to need you to win some bets during football season. It's going to be a big year for you, I think. I have a good feeling. It's going to be a good year. I'm surprised you haven't been betting on baseball.
I have. Remember, I bet on the Red Sox and the Yankees a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did win.
I did win that one. I bet 90 and I won 250. So.
Yeah, but you could have bet 4,000.
Yeah, and I could have won 11,000. Right. I'm going to regret that.
Yes, you are. That's all right.
But I also don't know what the pain would have been to lose $4,000 too.
Well, I mean, it's the same pain of buying a school bus.
No, but the bus, you're going to get a return on.
No, you're not.
I'm getting a good deal on one here.
Oh my gosh, never mind. The best drafts. The NBA draft was last night. I'm watching it, and I feel like everybody's trying to emulate the NFL draft. It was basically the same format. Major League Baseball draft. I think I only liked it this year because the Pirates were 1-1 or the first pick and picked Skeens. Mm-hmm. NHL draft. I am going to be honest. I think that is probably the worst in my opinion because I just don't know any of the guys.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody.
Me neither.
I mean, a lot of the guys. I mean, you know, there's barely any college players. They're coming. You know, I just don't know. So, but my first two or my first three would be draft beers. Anything that has to do with draft. Draft beers, NFL draft, and fantasy football draft, I think are the top three drafts out there.
I have to agree with the NFL draft, but also, you ever had those snake drafts when you're on the playground and you have to pick your guys? So, to keep it fair, yeah,
no,
you like that one.
No, I don't know. I know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I just don't. I just was messing with you. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
What is it? A snake draft.
So, well, you probably heard of it. So, let's say you have three captains, right? And you're trying to pick teams. So, the first guy gets a pick. The second guy gets a pick. Then the third guy, to compensate, gets two picks.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go backwards. That's called a snake draft.
Okay, yeah.
I like snake drafts.
Yeah, snake drafts.
They keep it fair.
That is fair.
Now, when you're playing professional sports, you know, it's by season and how well a team does, the order.
What other drafts are there?
Well, I love the
military draft.
You wouldn't like that, though.
No, you don't like that.
That's not a good one.
When did that end?
It doesn't end. It's still a thing. It just, as long as there are enough volunteers, you don't have to have one.
Oh.
But if there weren't enough people volunteering to be in service.
Well, when was the last draft that you didn't have?
Like in the 1940s.
In the 40s?
Yeah.
Didn't Elvis get drafted?
What's that?
Didn't Elvis get drafted?
I don't know.
I think so.
Or how about, I love the feature here on the Odyssey app here where I can draft some podcasts and then publish them a little later on.
Well, how do you do that?
Time. It's just like it's a way to keep it in the system so that I can just publish it a little bit later if I want to put them in a specific order.
Oh.
Kind of like on YouTube, you put, you know, an unlisted or a private video. They're called drafts.
Oh.
In our app here.
Rough drafts.
Yes.
Like a paper, rough draft. I hated rough drafts.
No, I love those because then you can correct your mistakes and it's not published.
Well, I mean, rough drafts were good whenever I was younger because you would have to actually write papers. Now you type them. So you don't need a rough draft to type because you can just backspace.
But it's still a draft. And I think if you print it out and then edit it, you know, I always did that in school or my teacher would do that. You'd print out your draft and then you'd get marks.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Or if I were writing, I would mark my own papers after I printed them. And then
I used to get so many red marks.
Not a good writer, are you?
I wasn't. I am now. Better now. Draft.
What do you write now?
I used to write for Panther Lair a couple years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Articles. I never knew that.
Put articles about like after or before games.
Were you a columnist or?
No, just write just my thoughts.
A reporter.
What was it called?
Well, when you share your thoughts, that is a column.
Whatever counts. Good God. I'm a sore. Whatever. Oh, gosh. I wouldn't mind doing that again. It's a nice escape to get your thoughts out there.
You should ask Jeff Hathorn if you can publish a few stories on our website, 937thefan.com.
I might.
Yeah.
Maybe for training camp.
Sure.
I like writing now. I didn't when I was in high school, didn't when I was younger, but I do now. I feel like it's a great way to express.
I was real frustrated. I was in AP English, and I was real frustrated because we would have to write papers on books. And I don't like reading. I don't like reading fictional stuff and trying to find meaning behind that, although I believe reading is important. But it wasn't until I got to college where like I was able to write papers on things I had interest in, and then the light bulb clicked. I'm like, oh, I can't just say things. I actually have to prove like why I think certain ways.
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Too little, too late, a little bit.
But, was there any other drafts out there? Backdraft, the movie?
Never seen it.
About firemen?
No.
Pretty good movie. In the 90s, I think 91. Because, you know, I'm good at that, right?
Draft beer got me. I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Draft
that was
beer.
Good.
Draft beer is number one. Yes. Coming up next, the NBA draft was last night. Whenever Pat Bostic gets here, we'll dive deep into Bub Carrington. He got, wow, look at that. I can't even talk. Bub Carrington got drafted actually to Portland and then traded to Washington, which is basically where he is from. He's from Baltimore, so that's his hometown team, the Washington Wizards. He went 14th overall, lottery pick. Unbelievable. And so happy for that young man. So happy for his family. So happy for the Pitt basketball team and the University of Pittsburgh. But we'll get into that with Pat Bostic. But coming up next, there was somebody that wasn't drafted last night, and it is causing some, I guess, speculation. We'll talk about him next. And if he will get drafted, I think the second round is tonight. We'll talk about him next. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab up to $7,500 in rebates, full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com.